All that crackling is coming from Pastor Steve, not me.
You call me a cracker?
Cracker. Cracker.
Cracker?
Yeah. A Krakow. Krakow, Poland. All right, guys. Welcome. This is Yahweh's Covenant People on Eurofolk Radio. Today is November 23rd, Black Friday.
Black Friday? Yeah,
right.
That be racist. That be racist now.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
I was listening to the local news on the radio on the way home this evening, and several people, because they were being interviewed about, you know, the mad rush to get into the stores that's usual on Black Friday. And six or seven people were interviewed and said, there was no line. We didn't have to wait at all. I was surprised. Yeah. Macy's, no line whatsoever.
It's gonna be an absolute bum economy. You know,
right.
People aren't going to get out.
Yeah.
The Christmas stuff, they've been putting it up before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And nobody's still buying anything.
Right.
Walmart's gonna take a hit.
Yeah, right. Target is going down. Sears is going down. Macy's is going down. All these big retailers need the Christmas season sales, and it ain't happening.
Make it over the hump, yeah.
It ain't happening. Sears has closed three of the biggest stores in the Midwest in the Chicago area in the last 3 years. Three of the biggest stores.
They're non-existent in a lot of places.
Right.
Sears.
Yeah.
And I used to buy tools at Sears because their
right.
quality was
they were.
So good.
They were quality. Yeah. Their washers and dryers are made by Maytag. We bought our pair from Sears 20 years ago. They still work. They still work great. Right. We had to change the belt on the dryer one time, and that was it. They work fantastic. I'm sorry to see them go, right? Because they sold quality stuff.
Sears, tools and stuff. I used to use all kinds
yeah,
of
me too.
Mechanics tools.
Yeah, hand tools. You know, they had a lifetime guarantee on all their hand tools. So you can't beat that, right? So, but now they're going by the wayside, you know. So, what was it? Their sister stores.
People would rather buy cheap Chinese crap.
Right. Yeah, well, because it's cheaper, right? Yeah. Yeah. They still have, I forget what company it is, they cater to the professionals. It's a tool company. And they have trucks driving. They deliver the tools to you. You order them. That's one of them. I can't think of the name of this one, but they drive around in their big trucks, and like mechanics, auto mechanics buy them, and they just drive to your store, and they drop them off for you. They don't have a retail outlet, but you know, yeah, they're really top quality tools too. But yeah, Sears actually for their mechanical stuff is really good, no doubt about it. But those days are over. Things are changing, right?
Well, we're watching the whole place go down the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
And it's not just
what has happened is they have shipped all the good jobs,
right,
overseas. Now they're bringing all this cheap foreign stuff in and expecting us to buy it when we used to make it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And nobody has the wages to even buy their cheap crap because all the jobs are gone.
That's
and
right.
Now they want all the, they want these Mexicans coming in down on the border. They're going to engineer that.
Mm-hmm. Taking more of our jobs.
There just is not going to be any
economy.
Any jobs for white people.
That's right. The economy is going bust. And the Mexicans and the blacks and the Asians, they're not creative enough to come up with new ideas. And so the economy is just going to keep slowing down and slowing down and slowing down.
Well, when,
no doubt.
They'll all leave when the welfare state
there you
is
go.
Over.
Right.
And there's no more freebies.
Mm-hmm. No more Sears.
I wonder if they'll go home.
Well, all probably. the Mexicans probably. All work on their own cars. You know, you drive up and down the alleys, you know, they're changing their oil, they're changing their starters. You know, they do it all themselves. You know, they don't pay a mechanic to do their stuff. So I see their cars being jacked up on the street all the time. Blacks don't seem to have any mechanical ability, so they just buy cheap junk, and when it dies, they buy some more cheap junk, right? Cadillac junk, right? Old Cadillacs. They like those old Cadillacs. And they don't have, you know, they don't even drive those scavenger trucks. You know, the Mexicans, you go down the alleys, you see two or three, four or five scavenger trucks driven by a Mexican every single day. You know, they're picking up scrap metal. But
scrap
blacks,
metal, old,
yeah.
Old water heaters.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, air conditioners, whatever people throw out.
Just anything that's made out of metal.
Yeah, they'll pick
and
it up.
They don't disassemble it. They just take it to the junk yard and they get bulk metal prices.
Right. Yeah, and they send it to China. So China can fabricate it and send it back to us as more cheap junk, cheaper air conditioners, right? So that's the way the economy is working right now. And, you know, America is not really producing anything anymore except for some raw materials and recycling materials.
Well, everything is service jobs, and your economy cannot exist on service jobs.
It cannot.
Service
no.
What? Well, if you don't make anything, we're servicing other people's crap. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the crumbs off the children's table, and the gravy is going to foreign countries,
right?
Foreign workers. These corporations are making a killing because they're not paying those people anything, and Americans can't compete with people that are going to live in cardboard huts.
Can't compete with free.
with
free.
You'll work or you'll be shot.
Can't compete with slavery.
You're a prisoner of the state. No, you
Amen.
Can't. You know, and they expect our people to, and then we're being taxed to death to support those that are coming into the country.
Yeah.
That don't do a damn thing except leech off of us.
Yeah, Kim Smith says those are snap-on tools. That is correct. Thank
those
you very
are
much.
Snap-ons. Yeah, that's right. I couldn't think of the name. I haven't bought one in years.
Yeah, but they
but
still there.
Snap-on was the number one. They were even better than Mac. Mac was good, but Snap-on was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there.
All the pro mechanics.
That's right.
Snap-on
stuff. Exactly. Exactly. And they deliver right to the mechanic shops. Their trucks are still all over the city, so they're still in business, and they make good tools. They're probably made in America. I bet they are.
Oh yeah, that they. Their stuff is like bulletproof, man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, like bulletproof coffee. Okay, let's get into it. We've got Brother Hebert's article on Adam and Eve, part two, today. So let me go capture the link here and put it in the chat room.
The missing link.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. There we go. All right.
I want to thank everybody for the reaction. And emails and stuff that I got on my latest wake-up call on the Noahide death loss.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I appreciate the comments. And it was a very satisfying show. People really needed to know that. And I'm going to keep that in the archives. And when we have a dead spot, if something's missing or something, I'm going to play it over and over and over.
Right.
It's always going to be one of those pertinent shows. That's going to be a classic.
Yeah, actually, David James mentioned it on his fireside chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
I enjoy those, too. I sit back with a cup of coffee and listen to David do his thing. And that's a very laid-back format that he's got going.
Yeah, that's good.
I enjoy it. It's very enjoyable to listen to it.
He's doing his best to copy FDR.
Oh, now, that's cruel.
He needs one of those cigarette holders, you know, those foot-long cigarette holders that, what the, it's not a fedora, I forget what kind of hat he wore, but the fireside sound effects are right on, okay, it sounds like a crackling fire, whatever he's got going, with an occasional pop, right?
Well, so he's burning tares.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Okay. So we're right in the middle of the document.
Yeah.
And we left off at the word rib, tsila, meaning side. And we pointed out that this instance of rib is the only occasion in which the word tsila is translated as rib. Every other time it's translated as side. So there's more intended by the word tsila than rib in that verse. That's Genesis 2:22, okay? And it really means, the suggestion is complement with an E, not an I, complement, that Eve was to complement Adam. They're a pair that were designed to go together. They're made for each other. That's really what the word tsila means in this case. Now, why they translated it as rib, it's anybody's guess, but that was editorial.
It means rib of the side is what it actually means.
Yeah. So they took to me, it is poetic license because nowhere else is it translated as rib. It's not a horrible translation, but it really should have been side.
Well, okay. Actually, the side, because they took the short rib.
Okay.
Which is the only organ in the body that will completely reproduce itself if it's removed. You cut half of it off, it's going to grow back.
Yeah.
But nothing else in the body does that.
Yeah, and that's very interesting. So he says here regarding this word, tsila is used in Exodus for the ark, that is the side of the ark, for a side of the tabernacle, location, side of a hill, corner, and he says side of a hill. In Kings, it is used for chambers, boards, planks, and beams. What is going on here? What's going on here is Yahweh took some of Adam's DNA and formed Eve to be a perfect match to Adam's incorruptible body, kind after kind. Thank you. That's good. The meaning of side is the other side of the gender. Adam was male. Eve's side is female. The word woman is Isha, a term of subordination as shown in 3:16, as Adam is to rule over her. Verse 2:23, and Adam said, "This is now, at this time, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Notice
and
the
cat. Her name was Hawa.
Hala. Okay. Now.
Not Hala. Hawa.
Hawa. Right. Sorry.
W. Yeah. Hawa. And it's not. It's not Chawa. It's Ha.
Yeah. Right.
That,
yeah.
That guttural.
Right. It's that expectoration sound
right.
of the Hebrew.
Yeah, well, you don't.
The Germans still use it. It's still in German.
Yeah.
Ach, du lieber. Right? But, and of course, it's in Yiddish as well, but that was borrowed from the German. Okay?
So,
and which is based on the Hebrew. For those of you who've been listening to Eurofolk Radio, you know that Hebrew and German are very, very close in pronunciation.
And they say that Welsh and Hebrew are almost identical.
That's right. And even English is about half to two-thirds Hebrew, but the pronunciations have changed over the centuries.
Yeah, well, they do.
Yeah.
They do. But pronunciations change for different areas of the country.
Right. Yes.
Over here.
Yeah, amen, amen.
No, and that's
fire. Or no.
It's
far.
I mean, not far. Man.
Far. How hot is it? Far.
I ate some of her chili the other day, and it was far.
Right. Notice the capitalization.
At a distance. No, far, man. Don't you know what far is?
Right.
You lie to far.
Yeah, it's far away.
You lie to far. And
okay.
You put your hot dog over the far.
So you have these experiences even in English, even in America, right? Where you can't understand a word a Southerner is saying.
And you get up
or an Easterner.
where David was from, you, mm-hmm. you parked the car in the garage.
Right, the garage. The garage. Yeah. I was at a dinner at a friend's house, and his wife comes up and says, "Where's the garage key?" And she's Polish, right? So I thought it was a pastry. Where's the clutch keys? Oh, the garage key. Speak English, woman. All right. Notice the capitalization of woman and man. Well, again, that's an editorial decision by the King James translators, or whatever version he's using here. I'm not sure which version Rob is using here. Okay. But it depends, and well, this is the variations.
Mm-hmm. With the ah on the end of it is the feminine of ish. Mm-hmm. Ish means mortal.
Okay.
And it is of male gender. Isha means mortal, of female.
Okay. Gender. And that's what's nashim?
It is just a gender indicator. It mm-hmm. does not mean that they were. Actually, Enosh means mortal. Ish just means male, and Isha just means female.
Okay.
I haven't had enough coffee. I haven't.
Right. And, yeah. And what does Nashim mean? Isha Nashim.
Oh, Nashim.
Nashim.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay. All right. I'll see if I can find that on Esword in a bit. Okay, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife or woman, and they shall be one flesh. Now, here, woman, it's the same word, isn't it? Isn't it Isha for wife?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So.
Well, see, they've never had a formal marriage, which you did. This is going to be my woman, and you took her in the tent, and boink, 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 and then she was yours.
Right. Yeah, that's how they did it.
That's how you got married.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And they used to have this ritual called the bloody towel, right, to prove that she was a virgin. And
well,
that still goes on.
They saved the sheets in Europe.
Right.
And for the royals. And when the king took his bride,
they use ketchup.
They would take the wedding sheet and hang it out the window to show that he had married a virgin. Well, the common people would fold it up, and it was presented to the father of the bride as a testimony that his daughter was virginal when she was married.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very important, because the guy went in to her and she wasn't a virgin, he could cut her throat right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if he took her to her father and said, "Man, she's not even a virgin," the father would cut her throat because it was such a shame to
right?
the family.
Yeah, in those days it was a shame.
Mean, the days of chastity?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, that was a big deal.
It was.
And in the Bible, it still is. But in society that no longer goes by the Bible, it means nothing anymore. You just do whatever you feel. Well, you're not a virgin. Well, I was just practicing before we married, dear.
Right.
I would have it right, and I can make you happy.
Well, these days, you have to practice to find out if you're compatible, right? Right? Isn't that the way of the world these days? Right?
Yeah, come on, baby. Let's go practice.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
Let's get a band together. All right. So, let's see. 222. It doesn't seem to have a separate word for Nashim. I don't see it here. Okay. Isha Nashim. The first form is the feminine of H376, which is Ish. Uh-huh. The second form is an irregular plural, a woman used in the same sense as H582.
Oh, that's right. Nashim, yeah.
Okay. That is self-same.
582 is Enosh.
Right. Okay. Apparently, the word means something like self-same. So it's a what's what I'm trying to say? It's giving emphasis, emphasis on the
Yeah,
fact
it's
that,
an emphatic, yeah.
yeah, that they're together. They were made for each other. Okay, that's apparently what it means. Okay, all
Okay.
right. So let's get back to the document here. Okay, and 2:24. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and shall cleave to his woman, and they shall be one flesh. Citing New Testament citations: Matthew 19:5, 1 Corinthians 6:16, Ephesians 5:31. The Hebrew says, "Shall be as if they are one flesh." Okay, and when I, an Israelite male, marries an Israelite female, we are to be as one flesh, and we are to cherish, and we're supposed to love our wives just as Yahshua loves us. Okay, so it's a very, very unselfish love that is supposed to prevail between man and wife. In addition to, I think we covered this last time, in addition to the, physical love, eros,
Well, it
which.
was a covenant partnership, is
Right.
what it was.
Yes. And they understood that. They understood that they were supposed to live their life together, et cetera, and not bother the hell out of each other like spouses do today. In other words, they will cooperate and work as one towards common goals, physical and spiritual. Now, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So, what are we talking about here? Not ashamed. Why is it that they were not ashamed?
Well, because there was no societal prohibition on that that would cause them to feel shame. That is an induced emotion, that shame.
Right.
They were just au naturel, and they were the only ones around, and it made it easier to scratch your butt and
Right.
whatever.
Right. Yeah. Lean up, get your back up against the tree and scratch your back.
Like a bear,
Right. Yeah,
yeah. I
exactly.
mean, do bears live in the woods? Of course they do.
Right. Okay, I've
You
never actually.
get up against a tree that's full of poison ivy and scratch your back,
Right.
you'd be a mess,
That's
man.
right. That's right. I never actually looked up the word in Hebrew for ashamed. The Hebrew word is bush.
Bush,
B
yeah.
yeah, bush, a primitive root properly to pale. That is by implication to be ashamed. So by pale means to turn white from embarrassment as
Yeah, the blood drains out of your face when you get caught.
Right. And so for white people you could also turn rosy, your face can flush with blood when you're ashamed as well. It can happen either way. Okay, you can turn pale or you can blush when you're ashamed. Also by implication to be disappointed or delayed. B, to make, to put it with shame, be confounded, become dry, delay. So they, at this point in time, they had nothing to be ashamed of because they had not yet sinned. Okay? I think that's the
Nope.
implication. All right?
That's correct.
Okay? They were not pale. Pale means not bright, not shining, of faint luster, dim. This would make sense as Adam and Eve were clothed in Shekinah glory. Or incorruptible bodies. Very good, Rob. Very good. The same way Christ
Yeah.
was when he ascended, so shall he descend when he returns. Adam and Eve lost this glory or protection and became mortal. They were not ashamed or disappointed, maybe because the lusts of the flesh feel good, and maybe because they were not brought to shame just yet. All right, I'm not so sure this has anything to do with the marriage bond between Adam and Eve created by Yahweh. There's nothing to be ashamed of when white people mate with one another. Okay, so the marriage laws came later. But they were not ashamed because they hadn't race mixed yet. They hadn't broken any sexual taboos just yet. Okay, their loss of their Shekinah glory is a result of nudum pactum. Okay. And that apparently is a Greek term. The definition of nudity: an agreement that is void. That's interesting. The agreement between Adam and
That
Eve
looks
and.
like Latin to me.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Latin. And they broke it by partaking in the knowledge of race mixing. There you go. Thank you. Eve did not eat an apple. She was beguiled, that is, deceived and seduced by the serpent. And that is exactly the term that Paul uses in Corinthians. I forget whether it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, where the word he uses is beguiled, which means to seduce wholly. Complete seduction is the term that Paul uses,
That is correct.
which means that Eve went all the way, folks. That's what it means, okay? She was
Yeah.
beguiled by the serpent. Okay? The definition of naked is want of means of defense. Very interesting. Very interesting. And that obviously has a sexual connotation. So I would say that she was raped, right? A date rape. She was talked into it. She was either talked into it or she was outright raped.
And she was ignorant of,
Yeah,
she
and
didn't
that too.
know.
Sure. Ignorance could have played a part in it. What we are
Well,
told.
that's
Go ahead.
like with the serpent, the old saying, ignorance is
Yes.
hiss.
Right.
So,
Adam and Eve were not Jews. They were pure white Caucasians. The Jews are descendants of Cain and Esau. Thank you very much. Now let's examine the evidence, definitions, and descriptions. So here, first we're going to talk about Abel. And Abel is based on the Hebrew words habal, meaning
It's
to lead,
Hebel,
Hebel, okay, meaning to lead astray, become vain. Hebel, meaning emptiness, vanity, transitory, unsatisfactory. Well, certainly transitory, okay? Because Abel was not.
was only here for a short time.
Yeah, thanks to Cain, right? So it's not an indication of Abel's character, but an indication of what happened to him, okay? Adam's disappointment is reflected in the name Abel. Because he knew that Eve's womb and blood had been contaminated, because Eve was also carrying Cain, who was not Adam's son. Cain is not listed in any of the genealogies of the descendants of Adam. Cain is referred to as the son of that wicked one in, who was it? Peter? Or Peter called him that, I believe, or was it Jude?
And it's John.
And
John
John,
says that.
right?
John says
Okay,
something
yeah,
like that.
one of the what do you call it? The letters, one of the letters of John. Okay,
Right.
Eve was already pregnant from the serpent with Cain. It is well documented that women can carry two children from different men. This is called heteropaternal superfecundation, or having two babies by the same different men. Right?
Yeah, there were
Okay.
two eggs in the womb.
That's
One got
right.
pregnant by one was
Yeah. It's pretty much the same as fraternal twins. Fraternal twins usually have the same father, but it's different eggs. Identical twins, they have virtually the same DNA. They just split off and produce
Right.
two children. Okay?
But
Ina. Yeah.
Cain was born first. So he was the elder, but not by much, by a few minutes.
Okay. Two races be as one flesh is like 1 + 1 = 3. I'm not sure what Mr. Kim Smith means by that. But blacks say, ain't no shame in my game, right? Yeah, yeah. So that's the one thing we're to avoid, okay? So yeah, there's no way
He
that.
means that that's inaccurate because 1 + 1 does not equal three,
Oh, okay.
and two races are not of one
I
flesh if
see.
they're
I get
two
it.
complete separate races. That's easy enough to understand.
I get it now.
I
Thanks.
got you, bro. I
Yeah.
got you. Eli didn't get it, but I got
Yeah, I just got off of work. I'm a little slow right now. Okay. All
All
right.
right.
So Enoch 22:5, I saw the spirits of the children of men, which the word comes from Adam, who were dead, and their voice went forth to heaven and made suit. Then I asked Raphael the angel who was with me, and I said unto him, the spirit, whose is it whose voice goeth forth and maketh suit to heaven? And he answered me, saying, this is the spirit which went forth from Abel, whom his half-brother Cain slew, and he makes his suit against him till his Cain's seed is destroyed from the face of the earth, and his seed is annihilated from amongst the seed of men. Okay? Now here is clearly an indication where the word seed means offspring in the collective sense. There's no other way to interpret this verse. Right? Because Cain's offspring are still around, and there's lots of them. Lots of them.
We give wholesale. Oy.
Right, right. Now, Bertrand Comparé likes to assert that the mark of on Cain was the big old hooked nose. Okay? But I think the word mark there is a little more complicated. I don't know if Rob's article gets into detail on that subject. But Cain was obviously marked with something. There's the cross of Lorraine, which is a double cross. You have a vertical line and two horizontal lines. One, the top one a little shorter than the lower one. That's the cross of Lorraine. It's normally attributed to Cain. And this is legend that's been carried down by the Freemasons, that his forehead had the cross of Lorraine, tattooed on it or emblazoned on it.
It could have been his just general appearance. His countenance fell.
Right, right.
His face sort of drooped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe people would feel sorry for him and not hurt him, right? Just like the Jews do today. Oy vey! Woe is
such
me!
Such a victim!
And then they turned their back on Cain and found out different, didn't they? All right, Jasher 1:13. And she called the name of the firstborn Cain, saying, I have obtained a man from the Lord. And the name of the other she called Abel. All right, so what's wrong with the translation? Well, this is Jasher 1:13. This is not Genesis 4:1.
I have obtained a man from the Mighty One.
Okay.
The Lord. The Lord is in air. It is Mighty okay. One.
All right, now this is not the Lord in all caps.
The angel that seduced her was a mighty one, mightier than Adam, because he was a divine being.
Yes.
And had all kinds of powers.
Right.
So that is the problem with that translation in all the scriptures, and they mirrored it.
Mm-hmm.
In Jasher, I had corrected that.
Yeah.
If you listen to my dissertation
right.
on Jasher,
but even in Genesis, the word for man is not Adam; it is Ish, meaning she's saying, "Hey, I've got an Ish here. I'm supposed to have an Adam, but I've got an Ish instead. What's wrong here?" Okay, this is an exclamation by Eve, not an explanation by Eve or Yahweh.
Hey, just
okay.
a second. I'm up. You do what you're doing.
Yeah, and the word Lord is capital L-O-R-D, not for capital, which is usually translated as Yahweh. So in technically, Jasher 1:13 is not in error here. Okay? But what they do is they translate Ish as man without revealing that that it is not Ish. It should be Adam, and it isn't. Okay? If he was a son of Adam, he would be called an Adam, and he's not. Okay? And he continues, and the name of the other she called Abel, for she said, in vanity we came into the earth, and in vanity we shall be taken from it. Okay? This is extreme wisdom expressed by Eve, if she actually said that. Of course, this is not in Scripture. But we've found Jasher and Enoch and the other apocryphal books. The more popular ones are usually very accurate. Okay. Abel means vanity. When in the womb with Cain, Abel was affected. You might even say infected. verse 1 is a corrupted verse. Genesis, oh yeah, he talks about Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten, and it is acquired, a man from Yahweh. Okay? New.
So that is the mistranslation.
Yeah, that is the King James translation. Okay? The word new.
All right, if you look it up, and mm-hmm. I will read it to you in the Hebrew.
Okay?
And Adam knew Chawa, his woman, and she conceived and bare Cain. It's not C-A-I-N. It's Q-A-Y-I-N. And it's pronounced
Cain.
Cain. Yeah. And said, I have acquired a man by the Shaddai.
Okay. Yeah.
If you look it up, it's the Shaddai. Adam yada et Chawa isheto, watahar wataled et Cain watomer kaniti. There's where Cain comes from. I have acquired kaniti, the acquired one, ish et el Shaddai.
Yeah. Right? Okay. And
I have acquired him.
Mm-hmm. How? Okay. Right? She doesn't know.
Yeah, well,
right?
She didn't know. Oh, well.
Yeah. Where did this come from?
It was that pesky apple I ate.
Right.
Look, it gave me indigestion, and I got all swolled up.
Right, right. And in Genesis 4:1, man.
They have propagated that mistranslation.
Oh, yeah, and that myth.
And after that, it affects all of Scripture.
The mythical apple.
It's affected by that bad translation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, you think
it sets a premise which is incorrect.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
They follow that premise through the rest of the book.
Right. Now, had they translated the word man correctly from its various Hebrew sources, there would be less confusion here. I have gotten a man, which is ish in the Hebrew.
I have gotten a male.
Male. Not an Adam. A male. That's exactly how Genesis 4:1 reads.
From the Mighty One.
Right. Okay. And ish, contracted for H582, or perhaps rather from an unused root to mean extent, a man, or a should be a male, as an individual or a male person. Okay? That's all it means.
Look in the EFR chat.
Okay. Right, there's a hook nose for you.
Miss Kim, you are wicked. Yeah, okay. That is funny.
Right.
That is hilarious.
That's a beak. That's a what do you call it?
That's Jaime the
Jaime the
bird or
cartoon
that
Jew.
Beak on it.
Oh, yeah. That's a proboscis, right? That's proboscis. All right, very good.
Oh boy.
Okay, so we see from the Hebrew that we are dealing with a word that means simply male. It does not.
Gonzo is his name. Yeah,
oh, Gonzo? Gonju.
A little meme there. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then let me just quote 4:2. I don't know if Rob goes into it. And she again, okay, which means a second time, or to add or bear his brother Abel. Now, is there any indication? Because there's really not enough information here to find out if they were born a few seconds apart, like Pharaoh's and Zerah. This could also mean, a couple of days later or even weeks later. What do you think?
Well, it says she conceived again.
Okay.
So I think Hebel was a year
Okay.
younger.
Okay. All right. That I've considered that possibility too.
In fact, let me go back into my translation.
Yeah, given the scarcity of the information here, it's really hard to tell, right? But it could certainly be heteropaternal superfecundation, right? Or two boys from different men, two seed from different men. Okay, so the word new means sexual intercourse. Gotten a man from the Lord. This is a statement rather than a question from Eve, not a fact. Yeah, she's making an exclamation here. Man here comes from Ish, meaning mortal. Different than man from Adam, H119-120, which refers to Adam. All Adamites can be described as an Ish. All Ish are not Adamites. Cain was not Adam's son. Very clear. Very clearly explained, Brother Eber. Good job. And he quotes 1 John 3:11, cites. Oh, no, he does quote it. 1 John 3:11-12. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So, why would Eve bear a righteous son and a wicked son from the same man, Adam? Okay, that means they would have had something to be ashamed of, right? Yeah. Wouldn't that contradict?
Well, the theory that she had two eggs in her womb is not totally undeniable, but it is not supported by Scripture.
Okay.
And when it says, when she again conceived, that means another conception. Mm-hmm. After she was cleansed from her blood later. So Habel was a younger brother, and he was a half brother,
right?
Because his father was a different father. The fallen angel was the father of Cain. Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're not told Adam's reaction to that Ish. Okay? That would clear things up tremendously if we were given somewhere in Israelite literature Adam's reaction. But I'm not aware that his reaction is recorded.
I put my farmer joke in the
right
in the okay. chat room the other day. I'm not gonna repeat it.
Yeah, all right. Okay. The original Hebrew reads, and said, I have acquired a man from where? Yahweh? Yeah, it's either a question or an exclamation. It could be either. Okay.
Well, that I have acquired a male from the mighty one is what it says in the Hebrew.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, the Aramaic Targum called Pseudo-Jonathan says at Genesis 4:1, and Adam knew that his wife Eve had conceived from Samael the angel, and she became pregnant and bore Cain. And he was like those on high and not like those below. And she said, I have gotten a man from the angel of the Lord. Which could be El Shaddai, a mighty one. Right? A fallen angel?
That's what they called them. I've gotten a man. I have acquired a man. That's where his name was called Cain.
Right.
All right. Acquired one.
Yes. Now, the Palestinian
from
Targum.
The mighty one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Fallen angel. There were mighty ones. Right? The Palestinian Targum says it quite, somewhat differently. And Adam knew his wife Eve, who had desired the angel. And she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. And this is not in all caps, as the word would be Yahweh. It's not Yahweh in either case in the Targums. And for those who aren't familiar with the Targums, they are the Aramaic commentaries by the Judahite scribes. And these commentaries were used to explain the Hebrew to the Israelites in the kingdom of Judah after the two kingdoms had split up and after the Judahites had returned from Babylon, okay? Because they had forgotten Hebrew and had picked up Aramaic instead. So that's where these Targums come from. They are not Jewish literature. They are Judahite / Israelite literature, okay? All right, in verse, okay, yeah, he talks about it here. In verse 4:1, the Hebrew has H7706 Shaddai, meaning mighty one. Satan, a fallen angel, was more mighty than an Adam. The mighty ones appear later as the Nephilim slash giants. Thank you very much.
Now, what did Uncle Stevie tell you?
Right? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
And what did I tell you?
Who's your daddy? Genealogies of Adam. See 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 8. Enoch, fragment of the book of Noah, chapter 106. And after some days, my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and bore a son. And his body was white as snow and red as the blooming of a rose. Here we have the same combination of white skin and turning rosy.
And it should be, instead of red, it should be ruddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of red.
Well, who translated this, right? That's
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know. And the hair of his head and his long locks were white as wool, and platinum blonde, and his eyes beautiful. And when he opened his eyes, he lighted up the whole house like the sun, and the whole house was very bright. And thereupon he arose in the hands of the midwife, opened his mouth, and conversed with Yahweh of righteousness. Okay. Well, Yahweh can make mules speak. Why not Enoch? Right? From Webster's 1828 dictionary.
He was set apart from
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. And he never died.
Nope,
he was translated.
He was taken up without dying the first death.
That's right. From
he
Webster.
He was converted.
Yes.
Boom.
Translated.
Now you can live in the heavenly realms.
Mm-hmm. Amen. No need to die. Just come back up where you came from. Right?
Yep.
Fair. Clear. Free from spots. Free from a dark hue. This is from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Not from the modern Judictionary. White, as a fair skin, a fair complexion. Hence, number two, beautiful, handsome, properly having a handsome face. Remember last Sunday we talked about in 4 Maccabees that the Greeks described the Israelites as being beautiful and handsome? It can't be describing Jews. No one would describe Jews as being beautiful and or handsome. That means they're not Israelites. You know, how did they become so ugly? Of course, 5,000-6,000 years have intervened. But even the race mixing doesn't improve their appearance very much. Yeah. Verse 3. Pleasing to the eye, definition number 3, pleasing to the eye, handsome or beautiful in general. Okay, so that's what fair means. It doesn't mean, well, there's more definitions, but the proper meaning is white, very light skin with a fair complexion. That's what it means, okay? And until very recently, I think it was the 1950s, after the invention of the bikini, that white women stayed out of the sun, okay, and didn't deliberately go out and get tan because it wrinkles their skin, and they get what do they call those crepey skin? You see all these commercials, how to get rid of crepey skin, right? And they get crow's feet under their eyes, right, when they get too much sun. Because,
they shouldn't let those crows stand on their face.
There you go.
That's their problem.
Amen. Okay. All right. Abram and Sarai were not Jews. They were Hebrew descendants of Adam. Genesis 12:11. And it came to pass, when he, Abram, was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. And of course, this means both white-skinned and very beautiful. Both Sarah and Rebekah were very beautiful. Again, more proof that they were not Jews. Esther 1:11.
That's another reason they had all those kids back then.
Yeah. To bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. So again, what was his name? The king in Esther's time. I'm trying to think of his name.
Ahasuerus.
Yes, yeah. He was a Persian. That means he was Aramaic. He was a Shemite. He was a Hebrew. Okay? Then they right. got along well with
that
the...
That is the land of Paras.
Right. Okay. So these were not the enemies of the Israelites, although, you know, they were a conquering tribe.
They were racial kindred.
They were kindred. Okay. Yes. So Vashti, now this is an Indian name. It's a Sanskrit name. It just proves that our people, the Indo-Aryans, are the same. The Hebrews and the Indo-Aryans are the same, folks.
Well, back in those days.
Yeah, back in those days. Yeah. Now they're
mud people.
They're the hoodoos. The Hindus. The original Persians were Shemites, descendants of Shem, the son of Noah. Absolutely.
Sure.
It's like nobody knows this stuff anymore. Right? They're outside of identity, there are very, very few Bible scholars left. They simply preach their dogma and they leave it at that. Okay. He continues, the Israelites are Shemites. Shem is where we get the word Semite from. A Semite, well, that's for some reason the Jews don't like the SH sound. A Semite is one from the white race. A Jew is not a Shemite because Jews are not a pure race. They are descendants of Cain and Esau. Not only have they deceived the world into believing they are Israel, they have also deceived the world into believing they are Shemites, which they are not. Jews are the most race-mixed species on the earth. Again, from our studies in Maccabees, the Judahites of the Maccabean period would rather die than be a non-white mixture. They would rather die. They would rather die than be unrighteous. Jews are not like that. Jews have never been like that. Jews will always compromise and make a deal to save themselves, which they have done throughout history. Just like Cain, oh, woe is me, I'm such a victim, have pity on me. And everybody believes them, and they have pity on them, and that's when their problems begin, right?
Well, he was a murderer from the beginning.
That's right.
Yeshua said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he exposed them, you come from Cain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason they wanted to kill him. Well, if we expose him today and say all these things, they want to kill us too.
That's right. Yeah, because
that's
we look too much like Abel. Right.
That's why the Noahites.
Amen.
That we just thought, yeah. Hey, look.
Right.
A lot of people are waking up. We are making a dent. They are panicking.
Yeah.
And they're getting very angry, and they do stupid, violent things when they get like that.
Yeah. Amen.
So
amen.
We're trying to awaken our people to be careful because this stuff is coming down, okay? Maybe you're not a hardcore prepper.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go way overboard and have a hidden subterranean cavern in the deep piney woods. But you can prepare for
right.
hard times, even in the city, when you're going to have to get out of the city. Plan your route. Have stuff to take with you. Water purification. You can do water purification without a great deal of trouble. You can get one of those pure water filters.
Sure.
At Walmart. And they're better than nothing. And you can get a whole bunch of those charcoal cartridges.
Right.
And it will take out most of the pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Boil the water, then put it through that thing. It'll kill the germs, and it'll
take out
the
chlorine.
Most of the toxins.
Right.
It'll take the chlorine, take out the lead, all of that. I mean, there are things you can do that won't cost you a bloody fortune.
Right, right. Well,
you know,
I attribute...
Smart, Israelite, use that brain Yahweh gave you.
Mm-hmm. I attribute my good memory, you know, at 72 years of age... I have a pretty good memory, short-term and long-term, and I attribute it to the fact that I never drink tap water. I haven't drunk tap water since mid-80s, because I already was into healthy living in those days, and I knew that fluoride was dangerous, and they put that junk in the water. So I said, I'm not drinking that stuff. I'm drinking bottled water. I'm getting a filter. I'm drinking anything but that stuff, right? And that's what these toxins go to your brain. They're heavy metal, aluminum, barium, all kinds of stuff in this water. They put it in deliberately.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't call it a toxin. They
Well,
don't
they
call
put
it
in barium because if you drink enough of it, then they say, well, let's bury him.
a. Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah.
Oh.
And you get your MRI. You don't even need to drink barium before your
There you go.
MRI. Right? So,
Oh, man. Well,
yeah.
where are we going to stop? Because
Yeah, well, I
I'll
think.
mark that down.
Yeah.
Because we're close to our end of our time here.
Yeah.
We've got 4 minutes,
Right. Yeah.
and we really shouldn't get into another section. What are we going to start with next time?
We mean in this article?
Yeah,
We
this article.
yeah. Well, I mean, we're just getting into the word fair, and we're going to describe Job's daughters. Okay. So there are very, very few descriptions of the Israelites in scripture. Very, very
All right,
few. Okay.
that's where we'll start. I just
Right.
wanted to know what to mark down so we
Right.
have notes to start the next show.
Sure. And the
Because
reason for that,
these shows are pretty well planned.
right, absolutely. Our people are never to make images of themselves for worship,
Nope.
right?
Nope.
Now they must have, to whatever extent they had mirrors, they could see the reflection in pools, okay? I don't know if they had, they probably saw the reflections in sheet metal because they were experts at pounding out, copper and brass and, smoothing it out so that you could see your reflection in those pounded out sheet metal, okay? So they would have been able to see their reflection, but they were not to worship images. So the
Correct.
Israelites did not do that. Therefore, there are very, very few images of the Israelites from Old Testament times. There simply aren't.
Yeah.
Okay? And that is the explanation. Now, there you do have some images of Israelite kings on coins. That's about it. That's about it. Okay? So, that was probably done against the law, but it was done anyway, because not all the Israelite kings were righteous. Okay? But that's about the only indication. And then the depictions of Israelites by foreigners, such as the Assyrians and the Egyptians, had depictions of the Israelites. And those are shown as of the Nordic type.
Yeah.
Not the hook nose, receding forehead, kike description. Okay?
Okay.
So, okay, so there's no absolutely no doubt about it, folks. The Israelites were Nordic in appearance. We get the word Anglo-Saxon. We get the word Saxon from our ancestors, and we
I dash
resemble
such.
them. That's right. We resemble them. We don't resemble Jews, hook-nosed kikes. All right. So, folks, the more you study scripture, the clearer everything becomes as to who's who and who's Jew and who Yahshua is, because he was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Adamic Israelite, not a Jew, as you have falsely been told virtually all of your lives until you and I found Christian identity. Okay? That's where we're at, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for
All right.
listening. Praise
We'll
Yahweh, pass
start
him.
with Job's daughters the next time. All right.
Amen.
May
Okay.
Yahweh bless and keep you, my brothers and sisters.
Amen. Okay, lost the song. I have to restart it. Here we go.